This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny, and for the next hour, taking you up to Tech Talk, we will get you set for the Commanders and the New York Giants from Landover at Northwest Stadium, 2 days away on Sunday. Danny, they said we wouldn't do a show today. They were wrong.
They were wrong. Truncated, but not duplicated, my friend. We are hanging out with you guys until 6:20.
An Can hour we get that on a T-shirt, by the way? What's Truncated, that? But not duplicated.
That ain't bad, right? I just literally came up with it on the fly.
Pretty good. I mean, that season, that's kind of what's happened. They've played a lot of day baseball games today in Wrigley Field, but they are in the rear view, and we are on to the Giants. We'll make our season Commanders predictions in just a couple of minutes, and we will tell you what's going to happen this weekend with our players to lock in on. We've got a Commander spotlight, all of that coming up. In our hour, we're going to pack a punch today on the Fan. Got to start, though, Danny, with a real-life football game last night and a pretty incredible opening minute to the first game of the NFL season. The Eagles, not surprisingly, beat the Dallas Cowboys 24-20. There were 41 points scored in the first half. There was all of one field goal kicked in the second half, and there were no points after a 50-plus minute lightning delay, where I'm sure a lot of people decided to go to bed, and luckily for those people, they didn't miss much. Started out as a barn burner, turned into a pitcher's duel, and a four-point win for the Eagles. They escape. Dallas looked like they were probably a pass rusher short last night from being able to hang with the Philadelphia Eagles.
And yet, they had chances. CeeDee Lamb dropping as many passes as he did. You don't count on that. They had chances, some little self-sabotage, very Dallas Cowboys, like vintage Mike McCarthy Dallas Cowboys, a couple critical mistakes here and there. You had a spitting incident before the game. This thing had everything. Football is back.
Yeah, it was amazing. The whole night was great, minus, I guess, the 50-minute weather delay that put a damper on things. But I thought Jalen Hurts cooked. He was outstanding, 19 of 23, ultra-efficient, very effective, threw for a 152 through the air. But it was the back-breaking scrambles, the Jaden Daniels-esque, pulling the ball down, picking up first downs and getting out of bounds, getting into the end zone multiple times. 62 rushing yards led the Eagles, more than Saquon Barkley had, despite 18 attempts. He was held in check to 3.3 a pop. But Hurts, who scored two touchdowns on the ground, was the difference in the game. But you're right. The big story was what happened right after the kickoff and right before the first play from scrimmage. Never seen anything like this to open a year.
Weird.
Jalen Carter, who is the best defensive player on the Eagles and arguably the best player on the team. I mean, A.J. Brown may have something to say about that. Saquon Barkley is probably the number one player in that locker room. But Carter's up there. He is a defensive player of the year worthy candidate going into the season. And after the opening kickoff, he walks out onto the field, and he ends up spitting on Dak Prescott, as you all know now, and getting ejected. This was how things looked and sounded on NBC last night on the telecast.
For a snap, here he goes. He walks there in front of Dak Prescott. Did he spit? Did he spit on him? I think he did. There you go. There you go. And the official was right there to throw the flag. Brian Neal, the umpire, who was keeping an eye on that confrontation, no idea.
NBC ends up showing the replay and zooming in on the loogie in the air.
Fewer
than 1,000 times last night. I mean, how many times did they show that disgusting replay?
It's not as bad as the gruesome injury that people love to show and over, and then everyone shares it on Twitter, et cetera. But, yeah, I was good. I saw it. Thank you very much. And I saw it from a couple different angles. I saw it in slow motion. I'm out.
After the game, Carter, who was ejected before playing a snap, causing defensive tackles who weren't prepared to play their highest snap counts that they've ever played before, leaving his teammates out to dry, making them susceptible to Dallas, who would run for two touchdowns and end up having a pretty strong offensive game. Certainly a very strong first half as the Eagles were trying to adjust. This is what he had to say after the game.
Hey, Jalen, could you explain what happened from your vantage point?
You know, it was a mistake that happened on my side, and just won't happen again. You know, I feel bad for just my teammates and the fans out there. You know, I'm doing it for them. You know, I'm doing it for my family also. But the fans, you know, they show the most love. You heard them out there today. Just not being able to finish the game, just fucked me up. But we'll get it better. It won't happen again.
Yeah, can we?
I can make that promise.
Hey, let's give them a little bit of room.
There's some footage later that showed that Dak may have done something first. Do you feel like he precipitated it?
A little bit of room.
No, I don't try to do nothing out of the ordinary. You know, anything that I feel like I have done something back is provoked. But, you know, if there's something out there, y'all see it, we'll walk out.
Yes.
So that was Carter essentially saying he was provoked by Dak Prescott. He did apologize, as you heard earlier in his first answer, to the fans and his teammates, which was warranted and necessary. That was one of the dumber things I've ever seen a player do. I mean, point blank. I don't recall anybody in a really calm moment. It's not like it's after a play. Nobody just tackled you. You walk out there. You're about to play the first snap of a season you've been waiting months for. Think about the energy and the juice and the excitement that should be flowing. And then he spits on Dak Prescott and gets ejected. Just absolutely ridiculous and abhorrent behavior. And he got ejected for good reason. Now, I want to get into the idea of Dak spitting first and that narrative that's come out. But do you think he gets suspended? I don't think there's any chance. That has come up, though, that he could be suspended a game, and he may not play against the Kansas City Chiefs this coming week. My guess is, you know, after he gets run to start that game and misses the remainder of the game, that they're going to say, he got ejected, that's plenty, we're not going to suspend him, even though they could. I wouldn't mind it, by the way. I think spitting on a person's the grossest thing and the least respectful thing you could possibly do to another human being. So I would have no issue with a suspension for him or anybody else that does that. But my guess is he does not get suspended.
I haven't seen or updated my file on the CBA and what it says there because we haven't dealt with this in a long, 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 long time. So I'm not actually sure what the policy is or if it would be appealed or whatever. But I'm with you. I'd have no problem with it. It's never okay. I'm not saying it is. I mean, more sympathetic to something happening in the heat of a moment. Guys are shoving something said that's so reprehensible, so horrible, so awful, you resort to something and you regret it immediately. Not that, though. You know what I mean? Like, there's a stark contrast between the situation where I go, I condemn it, but I understand it, versus that, which is, well, that was as dumb as a thing as you could possibly do. That was very easy to avoid. Follow me around. I'll show you how not to spit on people.
You know, one of my big gripes in the world right now, so this is a really big picture thought, but it certainly applies here and it works in sport as well, is whataboutism, right? Where I did something stupid, but what about this person? And the comp I always give you that you always laugh at is my earliest dose of this was when I would fail tests. And I would tell Dennis Paulson, so did my buddy Jeff Howe. And he would say, I'm not Jeff Howe's dad. And didn't matter to him very much, right? But whataboutism here is, so for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we all have kind of slammed the gavel and said, what a ridiculous, egregious blunder. What a stupid thing. Wow, what a moronic behavior by this player, right? And then after the rain delay, like deep into the night, we actually see that NBC does a little more digging and looks at some more camera angles, and they pour over the Zapruder film, and you can see that Dak Prescott spits first. What's amazing to me, though, is the leaps that people take between Dak Prescott, who is spitting on grass on a football field. Is it in the direction of the player? Well, sure, because he's several yards away. But several feet from the feet of Jalen Carter, Dak Prescott spits. Now, he after the game, whether you believe him or not. I mean, he was doing like this condescending smirk, and they were clearly kind of jawing and talking to each other. So the spit might have been a sign of like disrespect, spitting on the ground as he's talking to him. I have no idea. But it's so easy for me to differentiate between a person spitting on the ground while smirking at you, and then you spitting on them. And you're telling on yourself as a grown-up if you can't figure out the difference between the two. You're telling on yourself as a person who wants to fight someone when they step on your shoe or who can't handle it correctly when you're in a situation where someone's yelling at you or cuts you off in traffic. Dak Prescott, where did he spit? Where did he spit?
The ground.
The ground. Not on a person. The response can't be to spit on him. The amount of people, though, that came out and said, oh, now I get it. Dak spit first. That's why he spit. They should both be suspended. Dak was the actual original spitter. What a stupid, stupid thing.
Pretty amazing.
For people to actually talk themselves into as if that made it all okay.
The analogy I went with when explaining this to my wife, what had happened when she asked me this morning, she's like, who spit? What happened? What's going on? So here's the analogy. Imagine an infielder between innings flips the ball towards the dugout. Here's the ball, guys. We don't need this one anymore. Right after ball's in, coming down, and the first hitter is about to come up. The difference between that and a pitcher buzzing the guy's tower. The difference between throwing a ball was thrown. That's all it is. Versus throwing a ball at a batter and beaning him and charging some sort of crazy melee.
It was stunning to see a player ejected before a snap. I mean, you could spend, and they did, I'm sure, on WIP in Philadelphia, hours, days, prognosticating how this game's going to do. What we've been doing with the Commanders and the Giants, right? All the different possibilities. What if they run the ball this way? What if they pass the ball? What if this player doesn't go? Well, their left tackle might be out. You just can't prepare for the fact that your best football player on defense is going to be ejected before the game starts. You know what I haven't heard anybody mention, by the way, what I find really, really odd in this back and forth of, well, Dak spit first, but did Jalen Carter mean to spit? And he spit on him, but where did it land? And how much spit was there? Was there enough? Could it fill a cup? And does that mean he should be suspended one game or two games? Why in the hell was he in the Cowboys huddle? There's a football on the field that's been spotted. There's an injury. By the way, another tragic, awful thing was that on the opening kickoff, which happens more often than you'd like to acknowledge in the NFL, I don't know why this is, but their starting fullback and one of their key special teamers blows out a leg, it looks like, non-contact, and ends up being bounced for the remainder of the game and probably for the bulk of or the entirety of the season, which stunk. But during that stoppage, while they're bringing out the cart and they're getting your teammate off the field, you can't be over there acknowledging, talking to him. You can't be in the huddle pumping up yourself and your buddies about what's going to happen. Why is he even over at the Cowboys huddle? I'm waiting for someone to explain that to me. Now, what Dak said in his answer, Danny, was their rookie guard that they were starting, Booker, that Carter was kind of chirping him and trying to like get in his head a little bit. And I totally believe that. That was probably part of his philosophy. One of the best D tackles in the league. The rookie's got to deal with him all night. Before we even go head-to-head for a snap, I'm going to just whisper a little sweet nothing into
his
ear.
Just let you know that this is where I plan on being all night long, and nothing you can do to stop it. That's standard.
But if somebody wants to play this Dak spit first game, which I think is an outrage, I think you're stupid if you care about that. Him spitting on the ground before he got spat on. Bro, why is dude in your face? Why is he over there? There's huddles in football.
So preventable.
One of them is on one side of the ball. The other is on the other. You're wearing different color than me. You're not dressed like the rest of us. We don't shop at the same place.
And they do that to help differentiate, just so you remember where to go. If you get confused, which side am I on? Who should I stand with? Everyone's dressed like you.
Where should I line up? I'm in green. Those guys are not. But those guys are in green. I'll go stand with those guys.
But he seems nice. Yeah, what are we doing?
I couldn't believe that. Otherwise, though, overall, takeaway from last night, I thought the Cowboys offensively looked probably better than I expected. You know, when Dak Prescott plays, we've talked about this, they're a much higher floor operation. They normally win around 10 games. In fact, before the Micah Parsons trade, you and I both had them being a tough out and a frisky team in the division, like a wild card caliber team. Offensively, they looked like it. I liked what George Pickens brought offensively last night. He himself was just a selfish guy based on his career, had a 15-yard penalty that was fairly costly for them as they got in the red area. But you can see that his presence forced the Eagles to make some business decisions on the back end that helped CeeDee Lamb. For all of his drops, he ended up with 3 true drops and 4 that he could have caught, would have had 11 catches for 170, 180 yards or something. He went 7 for 110. So even though it was only 3 for 30 for Pickens, they basically decided,
you could see it, yeah,
to put Quinyon Mitchell on Pickens. And then by doing that, to take him out of the game effectively, they decided to roll coverage, double and bracket CeeDee Lamb. I don't think it worked in the first half. It wasn't a great plan. But my point, Danny, is just the added second option changed a lot of things for Dallas in a very favorable way. And then Javonte Williams looked a lot better than I thought. If he didn't score the 2 touchdowns, I don't know if it'd be a story today that he went 13 for, you know, 49 or something. But he did score 2 touchdowns on everybody's bench in fantasy.
He looked good.
He looked like a powerful back.
Well, this is the drum I was beating pre-Micah Parsons trade. I have no idea what the repercussions are going to be, no idea if they're going to fall apart, come apart at the seams, et cetera, and just Dallas Cowboy this thing. But that offense is good. It was going to be good without George Pickens, and now with him, you already covered it, it's really difficult to deal with all of them. I think Jake Ferguson is underrated. No one talks about him. CeeDee Lamb's a badass, again, despite last night. Dak Prescott wasn't prolific necessarily, but they're going to be able to move the football on people. They're going to give up a bunch of points, but they could score too. So if you had Micah Parsons, I could have seen that team rather win 8, 9, maybe 10 games doing what the Bengals did last year, kind of, right? Not to that effect, not that good, but a poor man's version where the defense, we're not going to make a ton of plays, but Parsons will make 1, 2, 3, maybe to win a game, a sack fumble, something like that in a fourth quarter somewhere in a must have. And then offense can move the football and score. That's how I felt they were going to do it. Now I'm not so sure, but a pretty good showing last night, honestly.
Yeah, Kevontae Turpin's another guy that I think they've got to find a way to use more. Just to get the ball in his hands. That's what the league is dynamic skill guys with speed and elusiveness in the open field. He's petrifying when he touches the football. I mean, absolutely scary with the rock if you're trying to get him to the ground. And he ended up last night only touching the football 2 times for 18 yards at a 16-yard and a 2-yard play. I would just have to involve him more if I'm Brian Schottenheimer. I don't even know how or when, but it's got to be like a lot of orbit stuff behind the line, you know, behind the quarterback, and occasionally you flip him back out into the flat and throw him a screen or something. But he's too fast and too elusive to not involve. How about on the Eagles side of things? I mentioned Barkley was held in check. They're able to score 24 and get a win on a night where Barkley was nearly a non-factor, and A.J. Brown was targeted once on their final drive at the end of the game for 1 catch and 8 yards. And it's not like Devontae Smith went ham sandwich. He had 3 grabs and less than 20 yards. So their top 2 receivers that we always talk about, Brown and Smith, combined for 24 yards. Barkley's held to 3.3 a pop, and they still win. Big reason for that was a 51-yard moon ball that Hurts dropped into old friend Jahan Dotson. And then Hurts himself as a scrambler, I thought, was just kind of the best playmaker in the game. But they needed to be nearly flawless defensively after a horrific first half to just keep Dallas off the board. And with a takeaway and a bunch of big stops, they were able to be.
That offense wasn't clicking just yet. I think it will. There's too many tools. That line is too good. Brown is too good. Smith is too prolific. Goddard's underrated. And Barkley still, you know, Saquon Barkley.
Do you think that's a week one thing, preseason thing, or is that a new play caller thing?
I do. And maybe that's just I'm giving them too much benefit of the doubt, but I've seen enough sample where I go, I don't know how you stop all of them. You know what I mean? Like it's you're guessing, you're hoping. Maybe Hurts has a bad day from the pocket, et cetera. But, you know, Dallas's plan looked like, we're so concerned about A.J. Brown. You know, we're going to do the best to cover everybody that we can. You don't maintain any rush lanes, no integrity. You gave Jalen Hurts a couple of walk-in touchdowns because guys are just, you know, sort of Tasmanian deviling in terms of their pass rush. They're spinning all over the place. Who knows if they're running games or working in cahoots. It just sort of looked like let's try to get up there and see what happens. And this line sort of pushed them around. Next thing you know, everybody's covered. Hurts jogs in a couple different times. And that was really the difference in the game. But I just think they're too prolific. Whether this is the new OC and maybe some adjustment period in there, taking it easy in the preseason, I don't know. But Brown's too good. Smith is too good. That line is too good for them to look as pedestrian as they did at times yesterday for most of the season.
I agree with you. I will say that line is starting to take some hits. You know, Landon Dickerson came in with a back injury, left with that back at one point. They were already dealing with injuries coming into the game, so that'll be something to monitor. Also, Kevin Petullo, their new offensive coordinator and play caller in his first game. This is the fourth straight year, Danny, they've had a different play caller.
That's wild.
With Sirianni. And they're a victim of the thing I always worry about, where Shane Steichen was awesome. He goes and gets the head coaching job in Indianapolis. Then they go to Brian Johnson, and that backfired. He and Sirianni butted heads, and at some point, Sirianni was heavily involved in play calling. Johnson leaves and is now here as an assistant with the Commanders. Then they make a big hire, like they did with Steichen. They go get a guy who's somewhat proven, and they go bring in Kellen Moore. Well, he leaves after a very successful year. Steichen comes in, does a great job, wins a Super Bowl. He gets a job. Then they stayed internal. Brian Johnson didn't work out. Then they go get a big, high-priced offensive coordinator. They lost that first Super Bowl, I guess, with Steichen, but they got there. Then they win the Super Bowl with Moore.
Right.
He goes and gets the Saints job. So this is like a cycle where now they went internal again. This is the Brian Johnson hire with Petullo to elevate a guy that's been with Sirianni for a while. This should work out better, I would think, because they have a good relationship. But that's, you know, after one
something
game, I would say, just an area where I'm not – impressed yet, but very, very small sample, and they're 1-0. I think if anything, if you're in the NFC East, if you're a fan of the Commanders listening right now, like most of you are, that was a game that the Eagles very easily could have and should have lost in some ways and didn't, and that should scare you. Like the Cowboys yeah. blew a golden opportunity. The Eagles played an A first half on offense, otherwise in the game, just like a C or a D game defensively and, you know, offensively in the second half. And they end up winning 24-20. They're 1-0 and on their way to their 12 or 13 wins or what have you. All right, next on Grant and Danny, let's shift to the Commanders. They've got a game in 2 days on Sunday. Many of you are going. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
game day, or any day. Your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, getting you ready for football on Sunday. Commanders, Giants, 1 o'clock, New York, in town to kick off the 2025 NFL campaign and our first look at Jaden Daniels in year two. All of our football conversation on the Fan is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with a nice week one matchup between the Lions and Packers, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Danny, we have not yet made our season-long predictions for the Commanders. We're going to do that to kick off next segment. But let's take our first stab at what's going to happen on Sunday. You have been one of the few people, negatively I'd say
who
has been screaming into a megaphone about how good the Giants are and how scared we should all be. So I will step aside and allow you to tell us why you're nervous.
So they haven't played well against the Giants in some time. I know it has been different regimes and different groups of people, but still, last year, they should have lost probably one or both games to the Giants. The offense hasn't looked the same against the Giants. This group has not been on the grass together pretty much all offseason. I think Terry McLaurin showed up too late. He waited a very, very long time to sign a team-friendly deal. He'll be on a pitch count. Noah Brown hasn't practiced. You were basically looking at a group that's, you know, 9 or 10 guys that haven't really been together outside of maybe Jaden Daniels building some rapport and practice with Deebo Samuel, but that's not the same as game reps. So you combine all the factors. The Giants aren't terrible. Everybody's already looking past them, talking about from the fan base and media and otherwise. And the fact that they haven't played particularly well against them, the Giants aren't terrible. This group is probably, in my view, still going to start kind of sluggish. Talking about Washington, we're not really sure how good their defense is. It's looked good against an incomplete offense that's going through the motions in the preseason. And you put it all together, you got a guy, Malik Nabers, they haven't covered yet since he's been a pro. And I see a rock fight of an NFC East old school kind of game that I think New York can absolutely win if they get a break, which they didn't two different times last year.
So I'm in lockstep with a lot of the things that you just said as reasons to be nervous going in. I guess the difference is you actually think the Giants are going to win, and we'll give our score predictions at the end of the show. But I'm not misspeaking when I say that, right? You're picking New
York.
So while a lot of what you just said is true, and it's why I don't think the Commanders play their best game in week one, I don't think they come out and hang 37. This will not be the Robert Griffin Washington debut in New Orleans
where they put up
40 points and 400 yards. They're 6.5-point favorites. If I had to pick that game from a betting line standpoint, I would actually pick the Giants +6.5. But I think Washington survives and advances. And my logic is twofold. Number one, has nothing to do with Jaden Daniels or the Commanders. The Giants lack firepower. Other than Malik Nabers, and I think it's going to be critical that they run the ball, and they're going to try very hard to do that against the team in D.C. that couldn't stop the run last year, Tyrone Tracy leading the way, there's not anyone else on that offense that really scares me. If you can account for Malik Nabers, and essentially, you're not going to take him out of the game, but not let him beat you, and if they can't do that, then they deserve to lose probably. There's one guy on this offense. It's like the old Bill Belichick thing, man. Who beats us? Who scares us? Let's make sure it's not him today. Then it has to be Darius Slayton or Wandell Robinson or Jalen Hyatt or one of these other guys. This is one of the few games where I think kind of looks good to play man, double in bracket toward Nabers, and expect Trey Amos or occasionally Lattimore on the other side, whatever it is, to be able to handle the non-Nabers responsibility. And then you don't have to worry a ton about big explosives and chunk yardage plays. The Giants have to go on these long, sustained 8, 10, 12-play drives, ideally, with Russell Wilson at quarterback, who over the last several years of his career has been a guy that's going to give you a chance to make a play or two on the football. That's not going to be overly dynamic or prolific, you know, in the pocket. And then the last thing I would say is I do think it's a significant loss that the Giants are going to be without their left tackle in this game. Andrew Thomas is not going to play. He's listed as doubtful, barring some kind of major surprise over the weekend. For a mediocre pass rushing group on the edge, Danny, led by Von Miller, Dorrance Armstrong, you just got leveled up Mario style. Like, now you get an opportunity to play a backup left tackle in week one. That's a big, big deal.
It certainly is. And you hope that this group has enough horses to be able to take advantage of that. Again, in theory, Von Miller situationally. In theory, Dorrance Armstrong, I almost called him Dorrance Robinson, I'm not sure who that is. Dorrance Armstrong coming off of a strong end of season last year and a good playoff push. You would think you could take advantage of that. Again, I'm hopeful that they can. I haven't seen it. For whatever reason, they haven't shoved it on the Giants the way that you would a team that's drafting in the top five over the last couple of seasons. And again, I think the Giants are better. I think what the biggest place where you and I might disagree is feelings about Wilson. I'm not sitting here telling you that he's the same guy that was on a Hall of Fame track in Seattle early on in his career. I think you get him to raise the floor. I think he's not going to beat you. I think he's not going to do anything special. Maybe one moon deep ball to neighbors or to Wandell Robinson or you know, Slayton on some kind of gadget play here and there. But for the most part, he's there to not turn it over. And games that they do that against Washington, again, the ceiling is low, but I think the floor is higher. I think that's kind of what he's there to do. He's aggressively okay in my view. I wouldn't make that call. I would just start Jackson Dart. I would embrace the future. But you got a couple of guys in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll that are fighting for their jobs. So they're going to do this weird song and dance where they play the journeyman Jag veteran who's been on three teams in three seasons. Again, I would never do that, but they are. And, you know, you do it for reasons like this, to be competitive in a divisional game against the team that won't be playing its best football yet. Washington will play much better as the season progresses. I just don't think they're ready to do so yet.
Yeah, he's on his fourth team in 5 years because he's not that good. I mean, if he was
totally, yeah,
Mr. Caretaker who made everything okay and raised the floor, you know, extensively, he wouldn't have played for Seattle and then Denver and then Pittsburgh and now New York, right? The other thing is he takes a lot of sacks. It was basically a 100 sacks, actually, over a two-year span with the Denver Broncos, if you look at it, including an NFL leading high when he was a full-time starter. And he would have been sacked again, mid-40s, close to 50 times last year if he didn't get benched by the Steelers. But you know, his teams have not had a winning record by more than a couple of games. Like, it was 4-11 Denver when he was on the field, 7-8 Denver when he was on the field. That was an improved Denver team. Last year, the Steelers, who never go 500 under Mike Tomlin, were when he was on the field. Like, he's just not much of a helper at this point. And they're going to find that out pretty quickly, I would assume. I'm not saying he's terrible. I don't think he's going to, like, cost the Giants the game. But he does not scare me in any way. There's nothing he does anymore that should scare anybody. And the other point really quickly is Washington specific. If Jaden Daniels is what we heard he was all offseason, what you think he is, what I think he is, what everyone's been talking about, it doesn't make sense that they would lose this game to a bad Giants team or lose games like this very often. You might lose one in the division here or there, but it would be odd to me that this quarterback is this fringe MVP, top five guy, like when Mahomes or Burrow or Allen or Lamar is playing a 6-7 win team in their division. The idea isn't that they're about to lose because the other team might score like 23 and that might be too many. So one of those things can't be, in my opinion. Like, maybe Daniels is not in that top five conversation yet, or I guess you could say it's a one-off small sample, but as of week 4, 5, 6, 7 this season, they shouldn't be losing games like this if he is the superstar MVP type quarterback that we think he is, because they're going to be too good offensively for teams like the Giants, who are very limited in Ron Rivera's
very limited, extremely limited,
very limited to hang with them. But let's make our game prediction and our season prediction for the Commanders next, taking you up to about 6:25 or so tonight ahead of Tech Talk. We're G&D on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondori & Murad, can help you to draft a last will and testament, put together a living trust, or set up a medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation for free right now with their attorneys by visiting kmlawyers.com. Mention us and get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on a football Friday. We've got a little under an hour to spend with you today, so we're going to make our predictions for the season and for Sunday's game here in our final few minutes. For the Virginia Tech football fans out there, Tech Talk is coming your way in 17 minutes right here on The Fan, so make sure you are locked in for that this evening. Danny, I want to zero in on some Commanders that could have some big games here in a moment, but first things first, we got our first taste of NFL activity last night. I know you had another fantasy draft. Which is inexplicable and is crazy that was happening during a game. Other than the Commanders this weekend, what is your NFL matchup that you're most excited about?
There are. The beauty of this opening weekend is the NFL, this big organization, they know what they're doing. There are a bunch of marquee matchups, and in almost any other week would be the matchup. But it's a Sunday night one for me. It's Baltimore-Buffalo. They've had epic battles. These are two of the five best teams in the sport. And you kind of have that whole preamble all weekend long leading up to that one. That's my one seed.
I think we're going to find the most out about two teams in that Vikings-Bears game. It's going to be our first chance to see J.J. McCarthy as a starting quarterback on the road at Soldier Field against a decent Chicago defense. If he comes out and just looks comfortable and competent and he puts up numbies for Kevin O'Connell, then you feel like he's going to be okay. And if that's the case, that Minnesota team should be able to be a playoff caliber club in the NFC this year. Meanwhile, on the other side of the field in Chicago, where they're hosting a divisional game to start the Ben Johnson era, we've heard so much negativity about Caleb Williams. We've seen so much negativity by way of preseason performances and, you know, the comical videos that come out of him trying to throw the ball at the net and throwing a fit practice. Like this stuff that we shouldn't see, that shouldn't get leaked, that is just piling on at this point.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, though, for me, feels overdone. Like some of the negativity at times of a practice that don't really matter, or you know, how much does the preseason really mean in the grand scheme of things? My guess is they threw a lot at him to see what he was good at, to see what he wasn't. Now you peel some of that playbook back, and you dumb things down, sounds wrong, but basically you find out what does he excel at, and you run that as often as possible. Instead of having 80, 90 plays going into the game, let's make it 65, 70 that he really likes. And I think he's going to look a lot better than people think, and that offense will be okay in game one under Ben Johnson. But we're going to find out this weekend at least what that marriage is going to look like early this fall. I cannot wait for that.
I mean, you saw the talent. This is what I keep coming back to. Think of that Washington game, right, where he wasn't doing much all game. Neither offense was, for the most part, to be honest with you. That under 5 minutes where they drove down and took the lead, where he made play after play after play, whether it was a dime from the pocket, whether it was escaping for time, whether it was scrambles for first downs, just a whole bunch of big plays, and you kind of went, it may not be this year. And it wasn't going to be, by the way. They got broken after that Hail Mary. But I'll be damned if it's not worth pursuing, just thinking about how talented that guy is. I always say this about in sports in general. The worst thing an athlete can do, non-criminal division, but the worst thing an athlete can do is not fulfill the expectations that he or she may not even be responsible for setting. That's always the biggest sin to us. So we went from, this is the guy that's round one, pick one. That's obvious. He's generational. He's perfect. He's awesome. He's the best prospect since this. And he has a bad rookie year by just the standards of the other rookies in that class. I mean, what Bo Nix did, what Jaden Daniels did, what a whole bunch of other guys did, it pales in comparison, and his coach got fired. So we're now out on Caleb Williams. No. This is still an excellent prospect. I think the marriage this year will be much better. You're going to find a pretty good offense, I think, with some versatility, with some weapons. They've still got some pieces there. And, you know, I still think they're the fourth best team and maybe the best division in football, but they'll be a lot better this year. And I think Ben Johnson will have his hand in it.
There are also so many teams that have gotten it right with the head coach hire, with a quarterback hire, in worse processes. Right, where they drafted a Heisman Trophy winning, can't miss athlete at number one. That's what you're supposed to do. They made the big trade, the big swing. They traded up with the Panthers to go get Caleb Williams, I guess after that big trade, I should say, and the ammunition, you know, they were able to stick and pick and use that Carolina pick to get Caleb Williams. With Ben Johnson, they did the thing you're supposed to do.
Yep.
The generational play caller, the elite offensive player you compare with the quarterback. You know, this guy that played in the league and played quarterback collegiately in Ben Johnson's case, marrying together to see the game similarly and study tape every night together. This is what everyone says makes the most sense. If it doesn't work for the Bears, I don't know, man.
If they don't get a 4,000-yard passer this year,
right?
Maybe follow the Cubs.
If a 1-1 pick at quarterback who was can't miss and the best coordinator who was available over a 5-year or so span as a coaching candidate can't make this thing work over the next couple of seasons, then it's going to feel like it's never going to work for the Chicago Bears. So in some small way, I'm rooting for that fan base. All right, let's get to our G&D poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. Our poll of the day helps us to lock in on the New York Giants. Of their best players, who are you most worried about wrecking the game against Washington? Malik Nabers at receiver, 29 targets, 15 catches, 2 games against the Commanders last year. Dexter Lawrence, a perennial All-Pro who might be the best defensive tackle in the National Football League. Russell Wilson, we just talked about him, game one, with a team that is entrusting him with its offense. And then Brian Burns, their defensive end, who got 65-plus pressures last season off of the edge of the Giants' defense. Somebody takes over and has a monster game, who do you worry about?
Yeah, with all due respect to that defensive front, there are two guys up there that are really good, and we haven't mentioned Abdul Carter yet, but Lawrence is a badass. Burns is a really, really good player. It's Malik Nabers for me. He has been a terror against Washington with garbage thrown in the football from last year. And I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is a superstar at this point, but it's good enough to get that guy the football. Brian Daboll knows where his bread is buttered, and it's with Malik Nabers. Double-digit catches in that first one last year. Should have been the 11th, which should have been the fourth down conversion. Washington never gets the ball. We never have a happy ending in game number two. He is really, really, really good, and I don't think any team has anyone that can really cover that guy, let alone Washington. I like what they did at corner. I'm excited about Amos and Jonathan Jones and company. I'm still, holding out judgment and reserving some nervousness about Lattimore actually being the guy that we all hope he is for a whole season. But they're better on paper, but not good enough to stop Nabers.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about their secondary defending Nabers. You know, last time out, it was a no contest. Washington just had to throw in the towel. He was targeted in game one last year against DC 55% of the time on routes run. Game two was stark, ridiculous, never seen anything like it. 69% of the time he was targeted on routes run, which was the most in a game since 2016. But they have upgraded, to your point. You've got Sandra still, I think, is going to be really good in the nickel. Amos looks like the real deal. Lattimore looks healthier. I don't think they're going to shut him down. I don't know how many teams are going to this year. He also hasn't been 100% in practicing constantly over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So maybe, just maybe, you're catching him at a good time. My answer is Dexter Lawrence. We talked earlier about some of the areas where the Commanders didn't take August as seriously as maybe they could have, or aren't completely up to 100% because they didn't have a lot of practice time together. What about the offensive line? I mean, Brandon Coleman missed a lot of time in August. He's going to start for the first time at left guard. On the other side, at right guard, I think they roll with Nick Allegretti, who they're eventually going to move to a backup role as their backup center and guard at both spots. Against Lawrence, you're basically debuting two guys at new positions. Two of the three interior linemen were not starters at those spots last year. This is a guy that takes over games against Pro Bowl interior linemen. That I worry about a little bit. So Lawrence would be the answer for me. Right now, 52% of respondents are saying Malik Nabers, 35% are saying Dexter Lawrence, 10% Russell Wilson, and just 3% are saying the edge, Brian Burns, among the Giants that scare you the most going into Sunday's matchup at Northwest Stadium. Again, that's our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Let Metropolitan Moving and Storage do your heavy lifting and take it to the house. More at DCMetropolitanMoving.com. Danny, what is your season win prediction for the Commanders this year?
They win 9 games. This is a 9-8 team. They will start 0-2 and go 9-6 after that. The schedule is difficult. The fortuitous, unbelievably good fortune that happened last year, pulling games out of their tuchus, not because Jaden Daniels got the ball late in the fourth quarter, but because of Hail Marys, of pulled quads of kickers, of dropped two-point conversions, of crazy fourth down percentages, of incredible health for veterans that have been oft injured. Some of that regresses, and not necessarily in a positive way. I still think we'll feel really good about Jaden Daniels. Hopefully we'll be able to take a big picture view and feel really good about the direction. But I think this year is a little bit more of a Houston Texans year two, really before a great leap can be made in the following season. So I've got a slightly disappointing 9-8.
I've got them going 10-7 as a wild card team making the playoffs. I don't think they'll be good enough to catch Philly and win the division. They'd probably have to sweep the Eagles to do that, which feels unrealistic. But I like 10 wins, and I like a postseason berth. I'm betting on Daniels being exceptional and staying healthy. I mean, if those two things happen, I think the floor here is probably your 9 or so win prediction. Because if he plays 17 games and they don't win 9 games, in my opinion, it means he just didn't play near at the level that he did last year. Because there were so many winning time moments and so many spectacular finishes where he just kind of took over. Think back to that Falcons game. That's one of those games for years around here that could have and should have been a loss. I mean, they would have lost that for 25 years or so. But he just kind of said, hey, guys, I'm going to win. So if you want to do that, you can do it too, but, like, I'm going to win this game, and I'll see you in the end zone after overtime.
Yeah, Cliff, call a play. Just kidding. Just say Jaden.
Right.
I got it.
I mean, that's what happened, by
that's
the way.
That's what happened.
They
seriously
called plays. They didn't run those plays, and Jaden Daniels just pulled the ball down. It was like high school football and just took off, basically. There's going to be some of those moments where he's just that dude and better than a lot of the other people on the field. And, you know, with that in mind, I think there's enough games on the schedule. Even though their schedule is harder, we've talked about that, against teams like a Miami as an example, or someone that, you know, it's a middling team that's comparable, that it's going to be tight, and they got the guy that I think might put them over the top. The other part is, I do think they're better on the offensive line as the year goes on. I think it'll be a strength. I do think they're better in the corner room. You heard Adam Peters on this show yesterday say he thinks they have one of the best safety rooms in the league. I don't know that I would go that far, but I certainly understand the confidence. They're deep. They've got a lot of personnel they like in that spot. My questions are pass rush off the edge, where Von Miller may well be a big-time solution for them. You predicted yesterday he'd have 10 sacks. And then on offense, I worry about Zach Ertz staying healthy, and if he's not available, such a big part of their offense, can Ben Sinnott or somebody else step up and replace him? Because if Ertz were to go down and Sinnott's not ready for the bright lights, I mean, think about how different their offense looks if they don't have, you know, that third down chain moving war daddy to kind of keep everybody honest and help out the receiving core. A receiving core, by the way, where Noah Brown's in question right now and Terry McLaurin may or may not be on a pitch count. So those are some of the issues I have going in. But I do think, I wonder if you agree with this, I think they'll be so much better off 10 weeks from now than they are right now.
I agree.
Just based on not really taking August as seriously as I wish they would, and also the fact that McLaurin and the offense were never together for so long.
That's where I'm at. I think their best football is ahead of them. I don't think it's going to happen over this. They're going to play two games in less than 1 week. One,
but just do the Eagles thing from last night. Like, just win a game when you're without style points, and you know, you add enough of those up, you birdie those holes, it works out.
100%. I mean, so this one to me is actually pivotal. I hate to say that for your opener. I mean, you want to get off to a good start, obviously, so everybody stays engaged. But this is a big one, because going to Green Bay on a Thursday night is a tough ask for anybody in this league. That's not an excuse. I'm just simply saying that's a really good football team that's got all the juice, all the momentum, and now it depends on Micah Parsons' health, but still, a short turnaround road game against anybody is hard, let alone a Super Bowl aspiring team in Green Bay that might be ascending in everybody's power rankings. That's a tough ask. That makes this first one really paramount.
All right, speaking of that first one, let's get into the specifics. Let's get to our player to lock in on. Our player to lock in on, presented by Baldino's Lock and Key, your hometown security team for auto keys and fobs. Visit baldinos.com.
This is boring. It's the player we talked about all offseason, the player we're talking about just now, not Jaden Daniels, but Terry McLaurin. Is he on a pitch count, or is he just Terry McLaurin? You trot him out there, let him run the full route tree, give him the full allotment of plays, or do you do what smart people like Kadri Ismail, Dan Orlovsky, and others have said, it's probably too much to ask. We may have to ease him in, dip his toe into the water a little bit to not risk injury, not risk some of those wear down situations that might affect him as the season goes, or God forbid, a pulled muscle or a strain or something to that effect. But I will be fascinated to see, because there's two camps. There's one, this dismissive, hand-waving, incredible confidence that, nope, it's him. He's Terry McLaurin. He doesn't need to practice, or he's in great shape. And did they sort of throw their hands up and say, he'll be fine, he'll just be himself? And then there's other people, I think, like me, who are maybe a little bit more worrywarts, make fun of me all you want, who are listening to people go, yeah, he probably will be on a pitch count. And Terry McLaurin's comment didn't sound like someone that was getting ready to go out there and do full sprints for 70 plays and block and everything else. So that's, to me, the player to focus in on, is what's he going to be? If he's himself in week one, I think most of the stuff I've said previously about their start and the offense being sluggish is wrong.
On offense, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, talk of camp, talk of the preseason. How many snaps? How many opportunities? Does he carry the load on first and second down, or is that Chris Rodriguez? Cannot wait to see Bill's debut after weeks of him being beloved by this fan base and his star rising to the point where he's the only guy not named Jaden Daniels with a top five selling jersey right now for the organization. Defensively, Frankie Louvu led the NFL at the linebacking position with 214 snaps last year, where he rushed the quarterback. He actually lined up on the line of scrimmage 67% of the time, about two-thirds of the time, on third and fourth down. I think there's a chance he has a sack and a half, two sacks in this game, especially missing your top tackle. Russell Wilson's not a guy anymore that, I mean, he's slippery in the pocket, but he's not fast. He's not getting away from Frankie Louvu. I would be surprised if Louvu doesn't end up with at least a sack in this football game. He's a player I'm locking in on defensively. Danny, that brings us to our final game predictions. You have said you are going to go with the Giants to kick off the season. Collective boos all over the DMV
you
in their cars.
Them, yes.
What's the score going to be?
16-15. Horrendous, gross, awful, unaesthetic. Just a downright tough time, a tough watch in this one. It'll come down to a missed extra point, and Washington will not end the game with the football. It'll be a last-second field goal for the Giants to win this one 16-15, sending the locals home unhappy.
I want to edit from Darius on, like, that exact prediction and how many times you've done. I don't know about 16-15, but, like, the one-point loss where it's gross and it's unaesthetic and they miss an extra point. I mean, it just seems like a bygone era with Ron Rivera. I've heard that pick so many times.
And Spurrier and everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. No, everyone. Hey, there were some of those games along the way, to your credit. You pick it a lot, you're going to get it plenty of the time. I'm going to say winner-winner chicken dinner, 24-20. Washington beats the Giants, escapes with a victory despite a scare. I think it's going to be closer than people want. But I think Daniels makes a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter to get him over the hump. Our football conversation today brought to you by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games all season long. Juicy matchup, Detroit and Green Bay, to get it started this week. Starts at $30, $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Thanks to Darius and our producers, Clary, wherever he's at. We're doing the Clary bit today, by the way.
We're full Clary.
Danny at his house, me at my house. Thanks for listening. Real life full shows next week on Monday.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.